Okay, so what's up, everyone? My name is Kyla. You're listening to KYLA, the Creative Views Los Angeles podcast, the podcast where I have conversations with young, inspiring creatives here in LA. I'll be having discussions with people in all creative fields who moved to LA, some are from here, to create a name for themselves. If this is your first time tuning in and becoming a part of this new space, welcome. And if this is your first episode that you decided to click on, you made the right decision today, God bless. On this episode, I'm with Anthony Deo. He is from Philadelphia. He lies and says he's 21, but he's trying to sip on that fountain of youth that everyone else is trying to hear. He's an actor and a comedian, and honestly, I really appreciate you coming out and doing this today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, yeah. In K-Town.
Yeah, this is it. This is where it's at. Most good Korean barbecue around here. I wish this, are they open?
I don't think so. There's some places though. Everyone's doing the whole tent situation now.
Outside.
Yeah, everyone's trying to make those coins.
I need to look. I like to eat. I know it's around here.
Is Korean barbecue your favorite kind of food?
Korean barbecue wasn't something that I ate back in Philly. It's like a lot of things out here that I've now tried since I moved out here. And Korean barbecue is one of them, and it's like fire. I didn't realize how good Korean barbecue is. That shit is fire. So it's like top five.
Okay.
Top five, they don't allow.
Wait, so they don't have Korean barbecue in Philly?
They probably, like the thing is with me, now I'm gonna say no, because I ain't ever see it. But you know what? If you was to Google it, it'd probably be a Korean barbecue too. You
just
know
what I mean? Just the secret spot that Anthony Deo doesn't see.
I just don't know, right? But you know, I mean, they really abundant in K-Town, obviously, because it's Koreatown.
Facts.
You know.
You're not wrong. So you told me before that you were labeled a class clown growing up.
For sure. Like I mean, I did not go to school to learn. Like I went to school to make people laugh, disrupt the class. when it was time for me to actually like pass the class, like that's when I start like, okay, I'm failing all my classes. I got like 3 months left. Let me stop with the funny shit or whatever. And like, let's get busy. And that's when I would get busy. But yeah, I was a class clown prior to those last 3 months.
Prior to those last 3 months, like right when graduation hit, that's when I decided maybe we'll take it seriously.
Oh yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So all of your teachers, did they give you a hard time? I feel like anyone that I had that tried to be the jokester in class growing up couldn't deal.
For sure. Like, I remember teachers putting me in the corner. Like, my desk, like, even before class, like, my desk is already in the corner. You know? So, like, when I go into class, I already know where I got to go. Like, and I'm not even facing the teacher. Like, it's just, like, off in the corner facing the wall.
Hey, that means you've got to be good alone. So quarantine's probably not been hard then for you. You're used to being alone by yourself.
That's a fact. It's been embedded in me.
Well, who inspired you when you were younger, like to be funny? Did you grow up around a family that where everyone was jokesters? Did you watch somebody on TV that clicked and you're like, that's who I want to emulate?
For sure. I think a little bit of both. For sure, my family is funny. Like everyone in my family, my cousins, we roast each other. I remember my aunt had like my cousin, you know, and newborn. And I remember like at the hospital, because he came out looking a little funny. You know what I mean? And like my family.
Wait, your cousin came out?
My cousin looking a little, he looked like a little bird. And everyone was like giving him bird jokes. And it was just like, that's just how my family is. And it's like, my aunt is literally holding her newborn and they like roasting his little ass. So like, that's just kind of something that just comes with my family. And as far as like entertainment goes, Jim Carrey was like definitely someone who really inspired me. Like,
I love Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey was just, man, you know, at the time we just didn't have anyone who was that wild and that hilarious on television, you know? So Jim Carrey for sure. Martin Lawrence, obviously. But see, it was funny because like I do stand up, but it was a lot of movie actors, like comedic actors or whatever, that really inspired me, you know, on a comedic realm. So I'm more so like the Marlon Waynes, you know?
For sure.
You know, so like that's kind of like who inspired me as far as comedy goes, you know?
I mean, the Marlon Wayne brothers have done obviously so many things.
So many.
I mean, White Chicks is still, I think, one of the best movies ever.
Oh, White Chicks is so funny.
Wait, what do they say in that? Bitch Trip?
Hold on, what? You about to hit me with the white chick references? Hold on, time out.
That movie's so good. I was young when that movie came out.
Yes, yes. That's a good movie. That's a classic. Like, you know, it's funny that is a classic movie. But I mean, in the comedy realm, yeah, that's Marlon Wayans and the Wayne brothers are like, those was definitely people I looked up to for sure.
So did you want to do acting first, like comedy acting, or did you really see being a comedian, doing stand-up, being the first way that you got into it?
Stand-up first, for sure. It was stand-up first. Because I grew up in Philly, it wasn't no TV. It wasn't no movie. Like, you know, I mean, at least from what I knew. Like, I didn't know, like, any agencies or anything like that or whatever. But I knew I was a funny guy. My friends knew I was funny and whatever. And they were the people who, like, planted the seed of, like, yo, you should do stand-up.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was like, probably not. I ain't gonna do that shit or whatever. And then, I mean, after a while, I was just like, fuck it. Let me at least just write something, you know? And I just started writing. And like, after like a month, I had a book full of jokes. And I was like, all right, I done fucking filled this book up.
I gotta tell it to someone
and shit. And then I had like my friend, my cousin, who no longer looks like a little bird.
Oh, he glowed up.
Yeah, he glowed up. He don't look like that bird no more. and his girlfriend at the time. And we were at like a back of a school park. It was after school. It was like smoking weed or whatever. That's why I said it was after school. There was no children around when we were smoking weed or whatever. And you PSA. Know. Yeah, PSA. You know what I mean? It was like an after school, you know. And they were like, so what's going on with the jokes? And I was like, kind of caught off guard because I didn't even think they was going to hit me with that. And I was like, I actually been writing some, you know. And they was like, well, tell them shit. And I just started telling them the jokes. And they were like,
they were your first audience.
They were my first audience.
Well, shout out.
Yeah. And I just like hit them with the jokes and like they were laughing. And I was like, that's all I needed.
The laughs is truthfully what did keep you going.
That's what kept me going. That's what made me realize, oh, shit, what I just wrote is actually something. You know what I mean? It's something enough to make these, I mean, my family, you know, your family is going to be the realest with you for the most part.
True.
When it comes to.
Yeah, true.
Right.
For most people.
For the most part. And I mean, with stand up, you can't fake it. You can't fake laughs for a long time.
Yeah.
You can get a couple, you can tell too when someone's giving you those fake ass, like
snarks.
Supportive laugh. I'm just supporting you laughing. But no, these wasn't those. It was like, all right, these are genuine laughs. Let me try this stand up shit. And it just kind of went from there.
Do you remember any of the jokes that you had in those books or so long ago that
it was a long time ago? Because I started comedy 10 years ago. 10 years ago I started stand up. But I remember the premise of a joke. I know it was like, it was so dark too. I used to write real dark shit. Like I was thinking about like, I had this one idea wrote that a girl that I was with wanted to have like an abortion, but she still wanted to have like a funeral for the fetus.
That's what my brain was thinking. 10 years ago too, talking about abortion.
Yes.
It was very taboo.
And it was like, I made up this whole story where we had this like funeral and we had like one of her, like for the casket, we had like one of her, like her necklace boxes and shit. And we put it in there. We was like praying over it. It was weird. It was like, I used to think such weird shit. But I don't know. That's kind of one of the, that's a story that is hard to like forget. That's probably one of the only ones I can remember though, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that one I can only imagine is a little harder to forget. Is there any jokes that you feel you can't say now? We live in such a time sensitive,
Like a sensitive time?
Yeah, everyone's just super sensitive now.
You said the right thing, you just said it the other way around.
Yeah, I was like, time sensitive.
A sensitive time? Yeah, no, you got it.
The concept is there.
The concept is definitely there. And you're saying, is there any jokes that I feel like I can't say right now?
Yeah. Or do you believe in just being an open book? and seeing how it lands?
I used to. Now I love the audience being on board all the time. You know what I mean? Like, okay. I don't know. I mean, I'm all for people who, all for comedians who, like, you know, take it there and capitalize on it, right? But for me, I'm like, I like talking about myself and, like, we all go through so much shit. So I'm like, I have been through a lot of shit in my life. Mm-hmm. And, like, I love just touching on those things. And, you know, like Magnum condoms, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the stereotype is, black guys have, like, you know, big penises and shit. But, like, for me, I mean, I have a nice, like, my shit ain't bad. Like, you know what I mean? Let's not get it fucked up. Like, you know what I mean? But Magnum condoms fit a little baggy on me. You know, and I got to cuff them a little bit. You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, these are things that I feel that I'm showcasing. Like, I still think it's important to be vulnerable, you know, but I like being vulnerable with my shit. You know what I mean? I don't like going too much.
As long as it's to you.
Yeah.
And you can laugh about it, then you hope that others can.
Right. Because I've been there. I did years of, like, talking some crazy outlandish shit, and I seen what it did to the crowd when I did those things. And it was okay. Like, oh, y'all pulling all the way back. And I can't get y'all no more. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm not even trying to, like, fat shame no one. You know, I'm just telling you about, like, this girl that was heavy and she was wearing cheetah print. And I just thought that, you know, that wasn't the right animal she should be wearing. You know what I mean? Like, find an animal that you can wear, like, you know what I mean? That fits you.
That probably is with getting a little bit older, evolving.
True.
Seeing the times, maybe things you personally experienced that you're like, damn, maybe I should not talk about this to people.
Right. You know, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you know, for sure. Like, one thing I know too, like, if you talk about cheating on stage, you 9 times out of 10 are going to lose all of the women in the audience.
Especially if they've done been cheated on.
Every woman been cheated on, I think.
Well, not every woman. Lot of, especially men in LA, they all be trying.
Yo, I feel like a lot of women been cheated on. And, like, it hurts. It hurts us all. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, it's one of those touchy topics to talk about, especially if you're a man. And 9 times out of 10, if you talk about cheating on stage, you're gonna lose. You know, if you don't, I mean, yeah, I mean, Kevin Hart tried to do it in his last special, and you could see when he talked, he had to talk about it because it was so public, right?
For sure,
he had to talk about it, and when he did, if you remember, he spent out of it so quick. Like, you almost forget that he even touched on it. And when he was touching on it, the fucking audience was like, you can hear a needle drop. Like, you know, they were so quiet. I remember I was actually watching it with my ex, and my ex was like, oh my God, I didn't even know he cheated on his wife. I don't even like him no more. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
well, people are so quick to cancel everybody out anymore that as soon as they find something small and minute, they're like, good, I was ready to cancel them out because I want something new.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucked up, mm-hmm, that we don't allow people to grow and evolve. And it's like, that's what he made a mistake. I mean, that's also his biggest dream was to host the Oscars. He said a comment how long ago?
Yeah.
And everyone's holding that over his head. Mm-hmm. It's like, what else do people have to do to just get the approval?
That's so true. It's so crazy. But mm-hmm, you know, I try to keep it to myself.
Do you find you ever posting anything on Instagram, having to hold back, or?
No, not really. Instagram. But it's never been like anything that I'm hesitant to post this, unless it's something that, like, because I make videos and stuff like that. If it's a video that I, like, shoot and I edit and I look at it and it seems like trash, you know what I mean? Because it's some shit that you be like, oh, I think this is gonna be good, and then you actually record it and do it and you look at it and you're like, yo, this shit was trash. Like, I actually went back through my Instagram and looked at videos that I'm like, I don't think I really like this one like I used to or whatever, and I'll just delete it, you know what I mean?
Oh, so you do delete it.
I'll do, yeah.
Shout out to the archive button on Instagram.
The archive button is the truth. I fucks with that.
It gives you, like, it's like the girl that had the thing with the fetus. It allows you to, like, hold on to it a little bit later.
Put it away. You don't want it. You know you don't want it.
It's like, it's not there no more. Don't see it.
Right.
But yeah, that's, I mean, it is, it, I always find that super interesting. I have a lot of respect for so many comedians that you can't put it on stage. And for me, I'm an actor, only an actor. And when you do something, you don't know if it's going to hit until later.
Right. Like I posted recently, I was in Vegas, you know, shout out to Vegas, you know, that's still like popping during these Corona times or whatever, you know, shout out to Vegas. And I took a little Molly. I'm going to be real with y'all. I took a little Molly and I don't take Molly like that or whatever, but I was feeling myself. You know what I mean? Not literally, but I was feeling myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was like, maybe.
Right. But I was feeling myself to a point where I'm like, yo, I'm going to take this interesting picture. And I took one. And I know my angles, right? And the picture is like me, no pants, no underwear. I'm like new, basically. I'm fully new, but I got my cool shirt on. And I'm like blocking my, obviously, my hand is like covering my, you know,
oh, you were truly feeling yourself.
My almost magnum size. You know what I mean?
Probably like a little baggy.
It's a little baggy, but you know. And I took that picture and I got a lot of like, I got a lot of interesting responses. Like I had obviously a lot of comedians follow me or whatever. So I got a lot of comic jokes. You know what I mean? I had a lot of girls being like, oh, you want some fans only shit? Okay, I see you. Okay, but all right. And then I had like probably like 80, no bullshit, like 80 to 100 followers unfollow me that I for sure know it was guys. Because it's like if you a dude that's like, okay, I'm like following this guy because he's like funny. And then all of a sudden he's like half naked. You might be like, all right, you know what I mean? I'm not going really, you know, follow this guy anymore, which is fine with me. You know, I don't, you know what I mean? If you ain't comfortable with your sexuality like that.
That's toxic masculinity.
Yeah, shit, I guess. So, I mean, that was one of probably the most.
And is that picture still up for all the ladies? Go scroll through the Instagram.
It's still up. I'm not taking that down. I try to promote it. They was like, nah, this is too much. Instagram was like, nah, you can't promote this one.
They're like, no, not everyone needs to see this.
Yeah. I was like, all right, say less.
So did you always imagine LA was going to be the end goal once you decided comedy was the route in which you wanted to take?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, there's going to be opportunity other places with comedy, you know. But yeah, LA is like, I feel like for me is the land to be with comedy and acting. Because, I mean, stand up is dope or whatever. But I think a lot of stand up comedians eventually want to do stuff on TV and movies, you know. And I'm definitely one of them. So LA for me is like the place.
No place. So did you just drop everything and move here?
Yes and no. I have a daughter back home, you know, so I'm still very much so in her life. You know, I mean, I'm not there.
Your daughter lives in Philly.
She lives in Philly still. Well, technically Delaware, but it's like Philly, like her mom and my daughter and her boyfriend and their child.
Okay.
Yeah. They all live in Delaware. So, yes, but I mean, still very much so. My daughter comes out every summer and stuff like that. And I go out there, her birthday, Christmas. We FaceTime all the time. So very much so in her life. But outside of that, yeah, I dropped my job. I had like a $20-something-an-hour job. That was cool. People was like, I couldn't believe I was there. Like, you got a 401k. Like, you really going to leave that? Like, no, I'm going to take that with me. But
pack that shit up.
But you keep all the rest of this shit. yeah, and I was just like, let's do it. So, yeah.
Did you do, when you moved here, like a stereotypical job to...
For sure. I worked at Banana Republic. I worked as a host. The host was the first position I had in a restaurant.
Same.
Business. And then, like, from there, it was just like, you're now a bar back. You're now a busser. You're now a server. Oh, now you're bartending. All, like, different, like, places or whatever. So, like, yeah, I was kind of swinging that plus doing stand-up.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everyone should work in the service industry at least one point in
their life. For sure. For sure.
That's what I'm still doing. That's like the part hustle to pay my bills.
Hell yeah. I mean, people love to eat out here and they are spending to eat. and give me the monies, like, for real.
Give me the money. Do you feel pressure having a daughter to?
No, not at all. No, not at all. I don't feel any pressure. She's doing fine. She's doing better than me.
Is she like a?
She got three parents. Like, what the fuck? She got too many parents. I only had one. She had three. She got three parents.
She hit the jackpot.
She's like overwhelmed with shit. Okay.
Overwhelmed with love.
With love. She's doing fine.
Oh, so she probably won't be an artist then, because all artists.
You know what? She has some dope TikTok videos. I'm very critical. We've done videos in the past, and like she see a lot of my stuff, and you know she sees me on things or whatever. And I'm sure that inspires her to do her thing or whatever. But the more I see, I'm like, my daughter's getting very creative with it. And I fucks with it. I'm here for it for sure.
Yeah, we were just saying a little bit earlier, the real you, like the children, mm-hmm. they're on some next level shit.
Oh, yeah.
They have so many ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, to an extent, let's not give them too much credit.
Okay. Because they reel like, reel it back.
Because with TikTok, all they really do is just like recreate a dance move that they see someone else do and it becomes a trend.
Valid.
You know what I mean? Like, so I still feel like I want to see more creativity from the younger world or whatever, but you know, I mean, I'm here.
You heard it here first, Anthony Deo.
I'm here.
Get your shit together, kids.
Nah, keep doing y'all for sure, but you know, at some point, you know, be a little original.
Yeah, that is harder now, I think. They have so much more accessibility online it's easier to copy things before you really had to come up with it.
Yeah.
Growing up, because we didn't see everything so much.
Yep, exactly. And people now, I mean, the kids now are like fans of the copying, right? Even with music, not to take it off topic too much or whatever, but even with music, you have a lot of the style of rapping. We love that. Like, everyone loves it now. It's like, oh, he sounds like the person that I like, so I like him too. Like, you know, before it was like, if you sounded like the same person, people calling you out on it, like, yo, you sound just like 50 Cent. It's like, nah, you sound like Migos and I love it.
You're like, that is the energy.
That's the energy we need right now. Like, if you don't sound like the Migos, I'm not listening to that shit.
Is that even bad? I don't even know who that was if they were in front of me.
Right, because you just like, it all sounds the same.
They all sound the same. They all have like the same look.
Right. And you're like, okay.
It's like the basic ass LA shit.
It's
sometimes.
Like, it's lit.
But you know what? I'm still going to bop the music. Right. I just don't know who you are.
What we drinking?
But that's good though, that your family is supportive of everything that you're doing. Oh,
for sure. Absolutely.
That always makes it, I think, a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Hell yeah, my family is so supportive. Like, you know, I mean, just for me to make the move from Philadelphia to LA, it's like they were already like, you won.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a creative person?
Absolutely. 100%.
That's the word you would use. If someone said, okay, Anthony, I need you to describe yourself as an artist, what is the word you would say?
I would say, describe myself as an artist. I mean, I feel like, wow, that's a good question, you know, because I do comedy, but I love to look good. I love to take really interesting pictures and artistic pictures, and, you know, people capture it and people like put me on those things, and I enjoy that. And I love like acting. I don't even know how you would do. I don't know what would be a term for that.
Well, I mean, you're the jack of all trades.
Pretty much, you know what I mean. But you know, at the same time, I'm like the type of person that I still like to somewhat stay in my lane, though. You know what I mean? I don't like.
But you don't want to be pigeonholed.
Yes, facts. You know. So you know, I mean, I don't know if I answered the question, but comedic actor, poser.
A poser.
Well, as far as like posing for the camera, not poser, not a poser as like I'm copying like TikTok, like I'm TikToking. I'm not
a double entendre with that.
You feel what I'm saying?
Have you ever thought about quitting?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Taking a break, not quitting. I never thought of quitting. Stand up. Like, no. I never thought of quitting. I might have thought of like, I just never thought of quitting. No. I can't even, I'm trying to think of what I thought of. I thought that this was bullshit. You know what I mean? I've been angry.
This industry is so hard to, because you see people and you're like, why aren't they doing it and I'm not doing it?
Yeah, that's true. But then you start realizing it's time.
Everyone has a different time.
Everything is time. So like, I started to see that and realize that, like, I can't compare myself to someone who's been doing it for, you know, a lot longer than I am, you know, or I have, you know. So once I've seen people in my field receive opportunities and they've been in it for a while, I just knew that, I just put in my mind, okay, I just have to be in it as long as them and be consistent, and I will get my opportunities and shots too. So I never thought of like, oh, I'm a quit. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like,
there's a lot of people that don't feel that way, which is good that you had that mindset.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why you're doing shit now.
Hell yeah. Because I really respect the craft too. I respect it enough to know that this shit isn't easy and you have to like put your head down and really learn the game and really be strong. And you know what I mean? And you'll get your blessings.
Has anyone ever given you really good advice that's stuck with you in terms of having your career?
I think that's probably the advice that I heard the most.
Okay.
It's just don't quit. That's like the most, yeah. Don't quit. Just keep going. You know, that's probably, yeah, that out here, that's probably the main thing I've heard that I can remember anyway, that, because everyone else's advice is just, sometimes it's just, some people give you too much advice. You know what I mean? And it's like, who are you getting advice from? You know, that's another thing. You know, that plays a part in it. So like,
check your sources.
Yeah, you got to check your sources, because you be getting advice. Everyone has the way of doing it, right? And they be in the same amount of time as you in the game. And you be like, well, goddamn, well, why you ain't doing shit then?
But everybody got something to say.
So, I mean, obviously, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to it. I'm like, that's okay. I hear you. I can see that. But ultimately, the main thing I've took from people was don't quit, you know?
And you took the advice. You haven't quit.
I'm not quitting, man. Shit's starting to happen now, so I'm really not about to quit.
What's the thing you're most excited for in your career?
Like, the thing that I'm most excited for as, like, that's, like, coming up or, like, or...
Well, either. What is coming up? If you can talk about it, if you can't, it's cool. We can cut this. Or what is something that you really want to happen in your career?
Oh, I want definitely to be either a co-star or star in like a movie or television series. That would be dope.
Is there someone you see on TV that you picture yourself next to? I believe in manifestation.
You know,
see something.
I mean, I appreciate a lot of different actors, and you know, so if it's a dope movie, at least in you know, I mean, at least on script, you know what I mean? I'm for it. Like, you know, I mean, if it's something that is actually going to touch the theaters, I'm like, oh, that's dope. I mean, I love Issa Rae and what Issa Rae does. You know?
Love Issa Rae. Awkward is so good.
You know what I mean? So
I do.
So, I mean, that would be dope to do something with Issa Rae. Yeah, that's probably the first name that comes to my mind.
Yeah, Issa Rae was great. She had her own web series online.
Yeah, Insecure, HBO. She did a couple movies. So like, she's still super young. She's still got so much more, I'm sure, she's going to do in this industry. So yeah, that would be fucking dope. You know? That would be dope for sure.
I know. That would be a fun show to be a part of.
Because
I think I watched it behind the scenes with that. And she said we wanted to have... it's shot in different parts of LA that you don't always see.
Right.
You always see the same bullshit of like on Hollywood Boulevard or the Hollywood sign. And
yeah.
She's like, I want to show people different spots in LA that they haven't thought about eating at. I want to show parts of LA that's not always filmed. I'm like, that's how it should be. It's LA isn't just this basic ass bullshit for everybody.
Yep, yep. And she did that with that show. So yeah, that would be for sure like something I would be excited to do. That's what I want to do for sure. But there's been like right now, like I haven't even auditioned for TV or movie stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Just doing commercials and all that.
Yeah, because how I look at everything is like levels. You know what I mean? I kind of approach everything like my first like objective was to do well and learn how to be a good stand-up comic, right?
Okay.
And I've accomplished that. You know, I've done multiple shows where I've done really well, you know. And in the midst of that or whatever, I signed with a commercial agent, you know, which, you know, put me in audition rooms. Now, once I, you know, put that work in with stand up, it made auditioning easy in that commercial realm. And after a while, I think it took about like 2 years of auditioning before I actually started booking commercials. I came close, but I wasn't booking. But after 2 years of doing that, started booking commercials or whatever. One right now, the Snoop Dogg General commercial, which I feel like I worked with Snoop Dogg in L.A. I am now stamped in L.A. What's up? What's up? What's up, cuz? What's up, cuz? And, you know, I had a couple other ones. I did Old Navy with Neil Patrick Harris. I did a McDonald's commercial, which is all cool. And now I'm like, okay, I've done a couple commercials. Now I'm like doing acting classes and preparing myself, you know, for that next level, which is TV and movies. You know what I mean? So the next step is, you know, doing that and then auditioning for those things where I'm like, I feel very comfortable for this role, you know, so.
That's good. I mean, that's smart though. You have, in a sense, a game plan.
Right.
Of how you see your career projecting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like a lot of people in LA, you just don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
And it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Or they do it too early. It's like you're auditioning for movies and TVs and you haven't really had the proper training, or you know what I mean? And now the casting directors remember you, like, you know, for your last audition. And it's like,
why are we going to call you back in? I know you were back the last time.
Yeah, like, you know, even if you don't get it or whatever, if you do well in front of the casting directors, they're like, yo, this probably wasn't a role for you. But, like, best believe when something does come out, I'm going to hit you up. Like, I had casting directors hit me up and be like, and not even go through my agency, because that's normally what they would do. They would go through your agency would hit you up. Yeah, personally reached out, was like, yo, we think that was for the Old Navy spot. We think
that's
that you would, yeah.
And you got it.
And I got it. And it was like, yes. I was playing a band member. I don't know how they seen that I could be in a band, but I put that bandana on.
You're like, this is me.
With the cheetah print, bitch. I was Josie the Pussycat. Like, oh, what you mean?
Like, I've been doing this my whole life.
Yeah. So yeah, you know. So I mean, yeah, like you said, I'm approaching it that way, as far as like his levels to it, you know. And, yeah, and that's the next goals.
You also have a really positive outlook on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to get negative.
Yeah.
Around people and feel stagnant or, I don't know, just lose sight of what you're trying to do.
Right.
And
that's true.
The fact that you do see an end goal, I think that's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you
fell, or not even necessarily an end goal, I think that's aggressive. Nobody really technically has an end goal.
Right. But have those goals. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, there was times where I was obviously frustrated and being like, what the hell? When is my turn or whatever? But, you know, after a while, you just like, yo, just be happy where you are. Just remind, like, too, what helps is like looking at older stuff, right? And you seeing how bad you were. Because you'd be like, oh shit, I actually did progress. You know what I mean? So, because you'll look at that older stuff and be like, wow, I would never post that right now. That's why I said I would go through my Instagram and erase it, because I was like, I just, I don't know. I just wanted to see the, I guess, you know, the good shit. I mean, I would keep
it. Like, well, I mean, Instagram is the best version of yourself.
Right, right.
So
right.
I have an older version that you don't even like. I got rid of everything on my Instagram.
I seen that. I was like, yo, where all your pictures go?
My friend texted me. She goes, what's wrong with you? I go, what do you mean what's wrong with me? And she goes, everything's gone on your Instagram. Are you going through something? I was like, that means I'm going through something? Shit.
A little bit. No, I'm just playing.
You're like, wait, are you okay?
Are you all right?
I'm like, I'm good. What do you mean? I'm actually really good.
Yeah. No, that's cleansing. It's like, you know, you're cleaning out your closet a little bit. You know, and you like,
and you're recondoming that shit. what do you love? What do you don't love? Exactly. What brings joy to your life?
Exactly.
I was like, not these old ass whack pictures. That does not bring me joy.
That's how I be racist shit.
Do you care about how many followers you have? Is that something you think about? Or
I used to. I don't anymore. I don't. Like I told you, when I lost those 100 followers, I was like, yep, bye.
I don't need you.
See ya. Because, you know, I mean, like, at the end of the day, I want loyal people following me, right?
Sure.
I don't want a post, you know, to determine if you're going to fuck with me anymore. You know, that right there shows me you're not really a true fan. Like, you're not really riding for me. Like, if that...
It's not your ride or die.
Yeah. Like, if this picture does that to you, then, like, bro, you need to, yeah... You know what I mean? Like, I had friends that would, like, you know, they'd say, like, I wasn't gonna like it. And I'm like, that's good. You shouldn't like my penis out. You shouldn't like that.
You know? I hope you don't
like that. Like, that's fine. I'm cool with you not like
it.
I
don't like it.
But you want to unfollow me? You know what I mean? Wow. So, I mean, nah, followers don't. I actually, because I'm at, what, like, 9K or something like that or whatever, which is, to some people, is like, a good amount. But then people that got a lot, it's like, oh, that ain't shit. But for me, I like being at that, you know, at that range and still doing like things that are like pretty big, right? You know what I mean? Because it's like, I feel like a diamond in a rough, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I feel like an underdog because it's like, y'all don't see me yet, but I'm doing shit.
Like, I'm shining. Yeah. And I'm just going to have to dust it off.
Yeah, my little 9K see me. You know what I mean? My little 9K see me.
Those 100, bye.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I like being that. And then, like, you know, when the time comes, like, when I do something major, I'm sure that it's going to, you know, go up. But even still, I'm just like...
Have you ever had anybody that got mad at you that you didn't like something of theirs to support?
No, because I like just about anybody's shit. I like a lot of people's stuff. I know people would be like, damn, like, I know, I'm sure that people, like, are really appreciative that I like their stuff. Because, you know, like, some people, whatever, get a certain amount of followers, do a certain amount of stuff. They'll even unfollow people. Like, I got people back home, 100 followers, or, like, people that I follow that got, like, you know, not a lot of followers. They probably just post up, like, food that they eat or like pictures of their family. I'm still riding. I'm still following and liking their stuff or what. I'm not like, I like everyone's shit.
I think that's what's crazy too is being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when people get more and more of a following, it becomes a little less of them. It becomes more of people pushing and telling them what they have to do.
Mm.
And that's what always makes me nervous is the idea of getting there. Like, that's where I want to be, but I never want anyone to tell me what I can and can't do.
Yeah. I wish somebody would tell me I can't like somebody's post. Unless it's a post that's like, you know, if it's something that is just like political or like, you know what I mean? It's something I don't stand for. I'm not going to like this shit. But like, I'm going to like just about any post. If that makes sense.
He goes, we like it.
I'm following you, right? So if I'm following you, I mean, it's for a reason. I must like you or like what you're doing. So, I mean, why wouldn't I like you? I might as well unfollow you if I'm not going to like anything you post, right? That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
There was a point in time where I actually would not like somebody's shit. Like, I would go through every joint and just like everybody's shit.
That's good though.
Yeah, it's like, why not?
You're not wrong.
Just double click and I'm still scrolling. It's not that much energy going into me just pressing double click. You know what I mean?
Do you think social media has made a lack of human connection with people and that they're cool with just supporting you online but not actually supporting you in person?
No, I wouldn't say that because I see a lot of people finding ways to capitalize on the people who following them, you know, and getting them to either support, you know, stuff that they do live. You know what I mean? I see like a person like Haha Davis is like a big comedic social media comedian. And he started out just doing those, you know, social media videos. And like when shit was open, he would sell out the improv, and he never did like stand up or, you know what I mean, before those videos or whatever. So he's able to, you know what I mean, get his, you know, people who follow him on social media to come to live shows, you know. So no, I still feel like, no, I feel like social media actually helps even more now, you know, with getting those people to support you, you know, offline or physically, you know what I mean? Because like back then, how else would you getting people to come to your shows? Like, you know what I mean? You would have to have like some sort of agent pushing you.
Or yeah, it's true.
You have to land a TV show or do Conan O'Brien or some weird, some, you know what I mean? Some shit like that.
Something like, so crazy.
Yeah.
Not like crazy, but something a little unfeasible.
Yeah.
At a time in your career.
Right. So now, I mean, just about anybody can like, you feel me?
I didn't really know much about comedy until my friend started taking me to his shows.
Oh, for real?
Okay. Yeah, like at all. All
right.
And he thinks that everyone always thinks comedy is going to like a big show. Mm-hmm. But so many comedians have to hustle and do all these like little unpaid shows.
For sure.
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I have like 15 things I have to do tonight. And he just hops from one place to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And I never realized that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you still love it? Like, you have that passion for going from one place to the next?
No. I mean, that's like, when you're like, going through your like open mic phase, you know, and like, you're super like working out, material, because you only get like 3 to 5 minutes at each open mic. And, you know, that's a good amount of time, but you want more, like, especially that first open mic that you do. It's kind of like, you get 3 to 5 minutes, you're waiting so long, you finally get up or whatever, and you do 3 to 5 and you're like, that was cool, but I could do another one, you know? So you like, oh, this is a spot a mile up or whatever, and it's about to start right now. I actually could do 3 to 5 minutes there too. So let me go hop over there. And then maybe you bomb at that one. You know what I mean? And you're like, fuck, I can't go to sleep like this. There's actually another one a few miles up this way, and I could do 5 minutes. You might do well and be like, you'll sleep better. You know what I mean? So it is. It's a part of the game, you know? I don't do as many open mics now because I feel more comfortable with my stand up, you know, where I don't, you know, I'd rather work my stuff out on a show. And like, two, when you start to get around enough, people start seeing you and you start to, you know, become a better comedian, you start to book more shows. And like, you know, for me, I'm like, all right, I'm booking more, so I can now use these little unpaid shows like you're talking about as like my workout rooms. You know, now I'm getting 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and I'm able to work out in front of a real audience, because these open mics, you get other comedians that want to go up. So you don't get that true, sincere, you know, response a lot of the time.
People that also have maybe a similar mindset, or
yeah, they're trying to get to the next mic and they're trying to work out their stuff or whatever. They're just trying to go up or whatever. They'll be there because they have to support. You know what I mean? And then they have to go up. But at a show, people are actually there, you know, and they want to laugh. You know what I mean? They didn't pay no money, so they don't really come in with that high of expectations too. So you're like,
true. You know, yeah, that's something interesting. Yeah, when you go to a paid show, you're like, they better fucking make me laugh.
They better make me laugh. Like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, like, you know, and then, I mean, you too, like, go into it with, like, the mindset that I can work out stuff. You know what I mean? Something new. Not saying that you're working out to be trash. You feel confident in things that you're working out new or whatever, but you're like, this is an unpaid show, whatever. What they gonna do? Like, you know, you ain't paying shit for this. I can work out a new joke, you know?
Bitch, you may not laugh, but it's cool. Now I know.
Right. I know it don't work. But yeah, so, I mean, that's the grind now for me, though.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If that answered your question.
No, it did.
Okay.
No. But yeah, that is such like a hard career to get into, is you really are relying truthfully on people in the moment to give you the satisfaction. But I think a lot of younger people were so used to having that like immediate gratification. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's probably a high too to have people immediately laugh at you. Like,
yeah, you know, but you know, that's like anything though. I feel like, you know, I know a lot of people give praise to comedians, but I always tend to go to like, well, how is a comedian any different from a chef, right? Because like his first meal that he prepared for someone wasn't that good, probably. You know, it probably is just like, oh, this is cool, but it could use some of this and some of that. And he can just go back in that kitchen, right? Whip it up until they ask smiling out in the fucking dining room, right? So I don't know. I look at it like that. I mean, for sure, comedy is challenging. I'm not saying that it's not challenging, but I feel like it's like anything else. You know, you just got to stick with that shit.
Have to get the muscles for it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because those guys, I don't know why I keep going to the chef shit.
He hungry.
On Iron Chef, like, right? Motherfuckers can really cook, but he's still screaming at them. Like, what the fuck y'all doing? Like, they thought they was good cooks. So, you know.
Yeah, that is interesting, though, that you do talk about chefs and all of that. Because that is also a different creative kind of field.
Right, you know. But it's a lot of work that goes into that shit, right? You work that, right? You work at restaurants. You work in restaurants, right?
You're just like, you chef yelling at you.
It's hot as fuck in there. I'd actually rather be a chef than a comedian.
You're like, damn, this is my official game name to let everyone know I'm no longer a comedian. I'm a chef. He's going to open up a food truck.
Oh, shit. That shit's hard.
You know what? You could do that. Open up a food truck. Have a little thing outside. Tell jokes. Push your mic back inside.
Right. That'd be dope. Oh, shit. But yeah, man, that's how I feel about it, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think everyone has like a good voice to tell. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just finding the correct voice in which you want to portray to everybody. Mm. And that's good that you've had a lot of people in your life never bring you down. Yeah. I find that's so rare.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's always going to be people that's, you know, they're not intentionally trying to bring you down, but you know, they bring you down though. But I mean, you know, I mean, as far as family though goes, no, none of my fam, everyone's super supportive. They still are super supportive. You know, they hit me up all the time, you know, and give me and show me love, you know? So yeah, that is a good thing for sure.
Well, this whole thing, I wanted everyone to know that it's good to bring up other creative people, have everyone uplift each other.
Right, right.
So if you want to shout out a few of your people that have inspired you creatively that you've met.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few people. Right off top, I can think of my friend who also lives in LA that we were high school classmates. She lives out here. She's killing it right now. Her name is Carter, and she's a chef. And her Instagram is I Am Chef Carter. Check her out. She has a Wing Wednesdays. It's really good. She's super dope, super super cool. Also from Philadelphia, who's killing it out here. She was on LA Ink. She does tattoos. Super dope artist. Her name is Nessie Blaze. That's her Instagram, Nessie_Blaze. I fucks with her heavy. The Small Shop, my homie Joel works there. It's a cool little store in downtown LA. He sells shirts, vintage glasses, vintage clothes. Super down to earth person. Like, you can go in there and not buy anything and have a conversation with him and like feel super fulfilled, you know? And that's The Small Shop in downtown LA. Lastly, Johnny Lee, he's big investor. I learned a lot of things from him, like with money and how to like move my money, which is great. Cause I mean, you just don't want to be in LA acting crazy, being a savage, you know, it's easy to go in that hole. His Instagram is Waltz in the Street. Waltz in the Street. So he's really dope. He's super dope. And those are my four people. You know what I mean?
So yeah, everyone go and give them a follow. Check them out. And then obviously follow Anthony. His Instagram handle is Anthony Day and then the zero. Mm-hmm. And then you guys can check out my personal Instagram, which is Kyla, KYLA_Spencer. And then the podcast is Creative Youth Los Angeles. creative with a K, trying to be different out here on these streets. And no matter where you guys are listening from, just know that every path is different wherever you're going to take it creatively. And this is the place you guys can hear different creative stories, and that every voice needs to be heard. This is only the beginning. Tune in for another episode next Monday. And everybody, thank you so much.